Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
So I have absolutely no idea how well the topic of the Kansas City Royals plays on this podcast right now. But bear with me. Hang in there, okay? It's not going to happen all summer. They're dreadful. It's impossible to describe how bad the Royals are. They're historically bad, and it continues to get worse. And to me, that makes this an important topic we need to discuss. I actually had a dear friend say to me last night, while watching the dreadful performance of the Royals pitching staff, as they blow a 3-0 lead and things were going well, it's a night where Salvi hits 2 home runs, the Royals give up 11 and get bombed by the Orioles 11-7. I had a friend who loved the Royals, went to the playoff games. They've got through work. They go to regular season games. They entertain clients at Royals games. I actually had a buddy say to me last night, you know what? It would just be better off if they moved, if they just went to Nashville. It would just be better. We had played a round of golf. And as you probably know, dudes that play golf, and this was four guys I played in a group with, and then we were done and we're in the clubhouse, and there's a bunch of other dudes hanging out, having a cold beer afterwards, and the NBA playoffs are on, and there's hockey on, for crying out loud. And I look around and the Royals game is not on anywhere. And I asked to have it put on because I looked at my phone and the Royals were winning. And I thought, okay, this is interesting. Royals are up 3-0. We caught it. Ryan Yarbrough had struck out the side in the first inning. He struck out 5 batters, retired the first 9. The Royals are up 3-0. It just looks great. And then it just all falls apart. But not very many people were paying attention. And the Royals have become that topic where there's very little passion to get worked up and be mad at them. It's just apathy at this point. And I couldn't believe that he said it would be better off if they just moved and left town. But I think part of that was, how are we going to pay for a new stadium? Why would we pay for a new stadium? Why is the public going to get behind this? We just watched the public get behind the draft. The Chiefs, quite simply, are the Royals' worst nightmare. There's a finite number of entertainment dollars to go around. I know a lot of Chiefs fans or Chiefs season ticket holders that spend money at their college. They have KU basketball tickets, or they have K-State or Missouri football tickets, or maybe they're fans of Nebraska or Iowa State or Oklahoma or Arkansas or one of the other universities in the area, because we're sort of a regional hub for these sorts of things. And they go to Chiefs games and they support their college. And there really isn't time, energy, effort, whatever for Sporting Kansas City when they're losing. Certainly not women's soccer. The Royals, for crying out loud, there was nobody at this game. They came home for a 10-game homestand. It started beautifully, and the Royals wind up, are you ready for this? Losing their 10th game in a row at home. 10 in a row at home. The franchise record is 11. They can tie the record for home futility on Wednesday night against the Baltimore Orioles. I know I mentioned this the last couple of years on this podcast, and I've said it many times before. I have a man crush on Salvador Perez. We're watching a Hall of Famer. There are people smarter than me about the metrics, the statistics, what it takes to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. I get that. I'm not talking about the Royals Hall of Fame, the Baseball Hall of Fame. There are very smart people out there that say you have to hit this number, do this, do that, whatever. I think Salvi's there. I think his home run total alone is going to be way up there for catchers. And he's going to pass guys that are in the Hall of Fame. And I just don't see any way that Salvador Perez is not a Hall of Famer. They don't look at things in baseball like, oh, he's World Series MVP or something like that. They don't. They look at stats, and it's a problem with baseball, but Salvador Perez is racking up stats. And on this night, he hit 2 home runs, and his second one was an absolute moonshot to left field. When Salvi swings, he swings hard. When he hits it, it goes a long way. He hit some 880 feet of home runs on Tuesday night with 2 bombs. And that's fun to watch. But that alone is not a reason to buy a ticket. That alone is not a reason to stay engaged to the Royals. That's the kind of thing you look at on your Twitter feed the next day. Or later that night as the Royals are posting, hey, Salvi just homered. The Royals have made so many missteps here, you can't calculate them all. And it's a legitimate question now. Will ownership blow this franchise up this year? Will Matt Cotuero get 1 year to manage and be fired? Will J.J. Piccolo be jettisoned out? And John Sherman and his staff look at this and his ownership group look at it and say, wrong idea. We had the right idea to make a change with Dayton Moore out, but wrong idea staying in-house. That we've blown this. Can you even blame it on these people? Well, you can certainly look at personnel. You can look at Piccolo as a general manager, and he probably deserves the most criticism right now because he decided he was going to put his fingerprints all over this, that he was going to make moves, he was going to do this, and he did. It wasn't a radical change to the team. They've gone to a lot of players that they have drafted. I'd say developed, but they haven't really developed, have they? And we're going to go with these guys, and this is going to work. And the Royals are so stuck in a mold that the Chiefs used to be stuck in that I have applauded this previous draft week that the Chiefs draft players and play them, but they don't stay loyal to them. If you're not performing, they will let you go. They've just hit it in the draft. They've done well. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is gone. Was he a bust? I don't think you can call him a bust. Certainly wasn't a great draft pick. It didn't work out great for him here, but he was not a bust. The injuries were probably the biggest deal. He was a serviceable player when he was healthy. You can't predict injuries and things like that, but they're not going to stay loyal to him because they drafted him. They just aren't. The Royals seem stuck in that. There's just the poster child for this is Hunter Dozier. You draft him high. He's got the build. He looks great getting off the bus. You're like, look at this athlete. He's a fine young man. He's an excellent person. He's a devout Christian. There's nothing to not like about Hunter Dozier, except he doesn't earn his paycheck. And then they one-up themselves and said, okay, we drafted him. We got him here. Now we're going to sign him to a contract and pay him a bunch of money. And now they got to let it play out because they're paying him. And I can't really make an argument that there's somebody better in the minor leagues. I can't. But this, we drafted you, we're staying loyal to you thing can go too far. And the Royals seem stuck in it. And they're just an ugly baseball team. And if they lose to the Orioles Wednesday night, they tie the worst home stretch in franchise history. That would be 11 straight losses at home. They have already tied their worst start in franchise history at 7-23. That ties the worst 30-game mark from 2005. I think the Royals lost 106 that year. Everything is in play. And I bring this up because we're about to find out. The Orioles are exactly where the Royals were 3 years ago. These teams were identical 3 years ago. They were dreadful. And now the Orioles are what, 10 games over 500 in second place in the East behind Tampa? They're having a fine start to their season. They've drafted well. They got a whole bunch of players you've never heard of. They're very young. Their third baseman's 21. Made a spectacular play defensively last night while we're watching Oliveros out in left field. I swear I could play left field better than this guy. I know I can. I don't have the arm anymore to like throw guys out from left field. I used to, but I can definitely catch the ball better than him. He botched one in the air last night. Then he came up on a ground ball base hit where he had every opportunity in the world to throw the guy out at home, and he just bobbles and misplays the ball. It's dreadful. They can't even play defense. For a while there, the Royals weren't very good, and they'd lose 90 games. But you'd say, oh, well, look at these defensive plays. Look at Nicky Lopez play. Alex Gordon was still around before he retired. Look at Alex Gordon play left field. And I underappreciated it because they were still losing because they couldn't pitch and they couldn't hit. Now it's just ugly. It's just one ugly play after another. The Royals are not just bad, they seem to be unlucky. They seem to hit the ball hard a lot, and the other team makes the best defensive plays they made all year. We saw three or four gems by the Orioles on Tuesday night. But it doesn't change the fact that nobody cares. That's why I hesitate to lead the podcast with the Royals very often, or to talk about baseball in general very often. I can't gauge how much you care. At this point, I don't know. Everybody thinks it's a given there's just going to be a new downtown ballpark. And maybe there is. I don't know how they're going to do this unless it's their money. And again, the Chiefs are just sitting back going, we'll watch and see how this unfolds. We're not going to be the bad guys. But if the Royals really wanted to do something, They talk with the Chiefs about, hey, let's build two new stadiums right here. We have all this land where parking is. We can build as we play. We'll lose some parking for a while. If they got the Chiefs on as their partner, they could get something passed. But these Royals are going out on their own, and this ownership group is failing miserably. We should have known it wasn't a very serious operation when they started letting celebrities buy in for little pieces because they thought it would be good marketing or PR. And it is. It's nice to have Patrick Mahomes in the ownership group. It's nice to have Eric Stonestreet. It does nothing for winning baseball games. Absolutely nothing. They don't seem very serious to me. They don't seem to know at all what they are doing. I mean, there is no progress. There's nothing to look at. There's no future stars coming along that you say, here we go. Bobby Witt looks like a nice player. He doesn't look like a Hall of Famer. He looks like if they sign him to a contract and he stays here 8 or 9 years, that he might be a Royals Hall of Famer someday, that he may, in a very short period of time, wind up being the best player on this team for a number of years. But if he's just the best player on a team that loses 90 or more games every year, what do you have? You have nothing. Are the Royals competitive? Can they be competitive? Do they even want to be competitive? Is this a for-profit business that's making money while it loses 100 games and embarrasses our city? It's a real question to ask. I don't know. It doesn't look to me, I mean, the ownership's been here long enough now. It looks to me like we're in a lot worse shape than we were when David Glass owned the team. David Glass had many bad years, but he worked very hard with baseball to get some revenue sharing and close the gap of disparity in Major League Baseball between the financial components. The Royals don't seem to be benefiting from any of that now, and the Mets went off and signed $1 billion worth of free agents this offseason, and the gap seems like it's never been wider. The Royals can't spend their way out of this trouble. They're not very good at draft. They've never been good at drafting and developing pitching. Even when they were winning, they had to go out and acquire pitching. Hanging on to a pitcher like Zach Greinke does what exactly for your team? So he's the guy that's going to go out and try to win a game on Wednesday night to keep this team from setting the franchise record or tying the franchise record for the worst home losing streak. And it's not like they're doing this in September. They're doing it at the start of the year. Nobody cares. Nobody's paying attention. The only reason to watch the Royals is watch Salvador Perez hit and know that you're looking at a Hall of Famer and say that's one of the greatest athletes in Kansas City history. We should cherish him. We know that he's become an American citizen. Coming from Venezuela, he's become an American citizen. It was very important to him. There's a really outstanding conservative streak in Salvador Perez, the man, and I love that. And I love this player. But I can't think of any other reason to watch the Royals at all. I feel bad for my mom, my oldest sister. They're huge Royals fans. They like to watch every pitch of every inning. And I don't know how they do it. I don't know how you can possibly do it. And I've given up hope. I've got no reason to think that these owners in this group can do this. Why would I think that J.J. Piccolo knows what he's doing or Matt Quatrero or any of these people? Why would anybody at this point go, if they just stay the course here, we'll see improvement over the season. And we will see improvement over the season. The Royals won't always have a 10-game losing streak at home going. At some point, they're going to win 4 or 5 games in a row because even bad teams do that. And we're going to find out fast because the Orioles are going to leave town in about 36 hours from when I'm recording this. And here come the A's and the White Sox, who are awful, like as awful as the Royals. The A's, I think, are worse. And the White Sox are within one game of awful of the Royals. These teams are dreadful, awful baseball teams. Coming into Kauffman Stadium, we're going to have the battle of the worst teams in all of Major League Baseball taking place at Kauffman Stadium over a week. 7 full games of the worst baseball there is. Get your tickets now. If the Royals don't at least win 3 of the 7, against those teams, I give up. I mean, if this thing just goes south against those teams, these are bad baseball teams coming in. Really bad, like Royals bad. We're going to get a gauge. The race to the bottom is on at Kauffman Stadium. Get your tickets. It's dog night at the park. It's bark at the park. They'll have promotions. It's dollar hot dog night. Buy your $48 ticket and get a $1 hot dog only at the K. With your Royals taking on the A's and the White Sox. Oh, awful. There is good baseball news. It was revealed on Tuesday that the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum has plans to build a new museum and campus at 18th and Paseo that will include a little baseball field. It's going to cost $25 million. They have $1 million already from Bank of America. This absolutely sounds to me like something that there would be federal money for, the way the Biden administration hands out money. And we all get just a little bit greedy when the government's going to piss away money. They're going to piss it away. If there's government money and it goes to this, this would be a facility we could all be proud of. If you don't know the origins of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, it started in 1990 as a single room. They rented a space. Frank White, who's now the county executive, and others would take turns paying the monthly rent to have this place open. And it is a wonderful museum, but it is not very big. And incredibly, I couldn't believe this number. Incredibly, in February, there were 14,000 visitors to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. So it's doing just fine. When they build it bigger and better, everybody that came to the other one is going to go to this one. These are not just baseball fans. These are history buffs. They are certainly baseball fans. And, of course, there's real civic and community pride. This baseball museum is way better. I'm not saying the execution and the space and everything else. It is way better than the basketball thing that we have attached to Sprint Center. The NABC thing is nice. That's fine. That's great that it's there. But that thing needs help. I mean, if the coaches don't support that thing, it goes out of business. The baseball museum is a thing. And it's got big people with lots of money that like to be involved, like Bank of America donating $1 million to get it started. It's going to be cool. I mean, the first thing you hear of these things, you're like, oh boy, that's just what we need. No, 14,000 visitors is a real number. In 1 month, that's a real number. I don't know how they rolled 14,000 people through there in 28 days. That's 2,000 people a day, right? No, I've got my math all wrong. 28 days is 14,000 people. It's 500 people a day, but that's a lot. That's a lot of people going through a very small facility in one day. And they do need a bigger one. It looks great. The renderings of it look great, and I'm all on board. If they ask for help spreading the word or getting donations, whatever it takes, KKHI more than willing to help however we can. That's a pretty cool deal. Another pretty cool deal is Advanced Medical Imaging. See what's inside. We're so pleased to have them as a sponsor, and we've received many emails from listeners who have said, I went, or my wife went, or my parent went, or whatever, and we found something. And my goodness, we didn't even know, and we found something. Whether it's your plaque score on your heart, which is really what the heart scan is all about, or they see something else and refer it to your doctor and say, your doctor should take a look at this. See what's inside at Advanced Medical Imaging. Now, doing the heart scan takes less than 5 minutes. You don't even have to take your shirt off. And it costs under $100 out of pocket. That's a pretty good thing to go do, especially if you're 40 or older. If and when you need an MRI or a CT scan, there is no reason to ever wait 2 or 3 weeks. You get an X-ray and somebody says, looks like you maybe have a spot or a tumor. We got to find out what that is. And you want to get that scan. And then you call the hospital chain and they say, oh, it's going to be 3 weeks to get you in. No, forget that. They'll take your insurance at Advanced Medical Imaging. All major insurance accepted. See what's inside online at medimageks.com. That's medimageks.com. And remember, all of our sponsors are at thekklist.com. If you don't remember the name of where you can get the heart scan, go to thekklist.com. All of our sponsors are right there, including Back 9 Development, a custom home builder. Custom home building has not really slowed down. Home building in general took a break, but it's heating back up a little bit now. Custom home building never took a break. If you're looking to build a custom home or business office building, Back 9 Development would love to work with you. These guys can take you from A to Z all the way through the project and build the building of your dreams, whether it's a home or a commercial property. Back9Development.com. See their entire portfolio online if you look at their website, Back9Development.com, or call TJ at 785-236-0161. He's a great dude, and he has a great vision. and he makes things happen. And he can make it happen for you at Back 9 Development, 785-236-0161. And my buddy Hutch over at Amazing Garage Floor, probably exhausted still from the Chiefs draft, that he partook. Is partook a word? I know he was partaking in the draft. That much I know. I don't know if he actually led to them running out of beer, but he might have had a little role in that. It's possible. They're back at it this week, building Kansas City's best garage floors. Man, they're gorgeous. Epoxy flooring changes your garage completely. And don't forget to get your concrete sealed while you're at it, your driveway or your sidewalks. They do that as well at amazinggaragefloors.net, 913-901-7139. Tell them Kevin sent you. Sticking with sports, Russell Wilson is the quarterback of the Denver Broncos. I like this story. Most people I know that I golf with, most people that play golf or have played a significant amount of golf over a period of time, most people that golf have seen at some point a golf cart accident, whether it's hitting a tree or something as serious as rolling one over. For me, it was my buddy Cato and my good friend Jack Harry in Myrtle Beach maybe 20 years ago on a guy's golf trip. Cato was fumbling around with his phone or something, and I don't know if he was playing music or what he was doing, and they had this little windy little bridge, and he's not paying attention. I don't know, maybe he had a beer in his hand. I don't know. And he turned the corner. Whoop, there it went. And he toppled the buggy over on its side. Jack went jumping out, which was good for Jack. It's always a left turn. You don't hear of drivers rolling the buggy on themselves. They always turn it left on somebody else. And that was the case here. So we saw the buggy toppled over, and the four of us got together, and we pushed it back up and went on, and nobody was hurt, and we were lucky. Russell Wilson, playing golf in Littleton, Colorado, with his teammates, was a passenger in a cart that was on the edge of a sand trap. It was not a deep sand trap, but it was enough that once the wheel went over the edge of the sand trap, whoop, there went the buggy. It looked like it went driver side over, which is very rare, but this wasn't him turning. Whoever was driving the buggy got too close to the golf cart, and apparently they tried to reverse it. When they tried to reverse it, the wheel went over the ledge of the sand trap and over went the buggy. And yes, Russell Wilson was in the golf cart. The teammates came to his rescue. Nobody was hurt. They tipped the buggy back on, and they kept playing. That's not even the best part of the story. I mean, yes, we can make all kinds of little jokes here about the Broncos' season last year being a wreck. It was. It was the kind of crash that you see on the side of the road as you drive by and you have to take a look. Of course, it's symbolic of their season. The best part of the buggy crash? I guess it should be that nobody got hurt. I think the best part is this happened in Littleton, Colorado at a golf course named Arrowhead. Can't make it up. The Denver Broncos crashed a buggy at Arrowhead golf course. How many have they lost in a row to the Chiefs? Come on. Nobody else is picking up on this. I see the story reported everywhere. I don't see anybody finding humor in that. That's the best part of the story. The stupid Broncos went out and tried to play golf on their off time, and they picked a course called Arrowhead, and they crashed their buggy. Because of course they did. I love that. Also in the world of golf, this is a gem. Taylor Gooch won back-to-back on the LIV Tour. I need more information on this story. Many of you have emailed this to me. I've seen this story. I stayed away from it, but a lot of you really like this story. And so I'll pass it along to those of you that don't know, but I need more information. Taylor Gooch does a podcast. He won back-to-back tournaments on the LIV Tour, $9.2 million he's won in 8 days. The first tournament was in Adelaide, Australia, where he won nearly $5 million. It was 4.6 something that he won. And he went on his podcast and said, well, it takes 24 to 48 hours for the direct deposit. They used to just write checks to players. That when the term was over, you went by the cashier's desk where you finished and they wrote you a check. Or they'd mail it or whatever. Now it's all direct deposit. You know, there's no cashier there. It just hits your account. They set it up for taxes to be taken out, and then it comes in, like any payroll. And Taylor Gooch was stunned. He was stunned to only see $2 million in his account. Instead of the 4.6 whatever he'd won, he only saw like 2.3. And so he talked about it on his podcast. Said, I don't want to be a complainer here, but Australia took 47% out of my check. He says 47% came out in Australian taxes. And my response to that is, well, wait, what? What about the U.S.? He's a resident in the United States. He's got to pay income tax here too. This doesn't sound right to me. Australia, that would be a 47% earnings tax in Australia? I'm not sure I understand. I need more information. 47% sounds about right in total. Like there could be an earnings tax in Australia, and then wherever he lives, does he live in Oklahoma? He's got to pay state income tax, got to pay federal income tax. You can't just go make a living out of the country and not pay taxes in the U.S., right? I mean, I'm not wrong on this, right? If that's the case, I'm going to move to a tax-free island somewhere and do this podcast and not pay federal income tax. I know there are places to hide your money and there are tax shelters and there's ways to get deductions. This doesn't add up to me. I need much more information on this. And everybody's read the same story. Taylor Gooch said Australia took 47%. Well, if they took 47%, what happens to the rest here in America? Somebody listening is a tax expert. I'm not. But if you're telling me that he doesn't have to pay any tax in the United States, we can do this podcast from a lot of places. I want in on that. It won't be Australia if it's 47% there. It will not be Australia. The Caymans, I think, have lower taxes, don't they? That seems like a good place to kick your toes in the sand and work tax-free. How does this work? Somebody let me know. I need more info on this. And I don't want to call my accountant because that will cost me money. And I'm cheap on things like this. I'm not cheap on all things. I am definitely not cheap on all things. Boy, there are some things it just kills me to spend a buck on. I'm not going to call my accountant for the answer on this because I'm afraid she'll bill me. And I don't want her to do that. I already get enough bills from her over the course of the year. I need more information. The caddy, it's awesome. You know, the caddy made over $1 million in 8 days, made more money than Jordan Spieth did finishing fourth at the Masters. That's a fun little nugget. I continue to get great emails from you doing business with ticketsforless.com. My buddy T-Bone is buying tickets to Luke Combs this summer at Arrowhead and is using ticketsforless.com and the promo code KKHI. We love that. They have, for Taylor Swift, every ticket purchased for the Kansas City show, you're going to get a VIP tailgate pass to enjoy the best pre-concert event with Tickets for Less. The tailgate includes all-inclusive food and drink in Lot M near the Hy-Vee gate. So if you want to go to Taylor Swift, the pregame party, all the food and drink is included at ticketsforless.com. Use that promo code KKHI. I have heard from Kentucky Derby folks that are going. I've heard from U.S. Open golf fans that are going to that. I have heard from concert goers out of town. Somebody went and saw George Strait in Dallas recently and did this. It doesn't matter what event you're going to. Ticketsforless.com has your tickets, including Billy Joel, which, by the way, Billy Joel is outselling Ed Sheeran. How about that? You want to go? Just give him a call. 685-3322 online. Ticketsforless.com. Your promo code is KKHI. There is no promo code at NKC Dental, but Dr. Bush takes your insurance. So if you haven't been to the dentist in a while and you don't like doing your six-month checkups, you really ought to go. Go get your teeth clean, get them checked out, make sure you're in good shape. It's a routine checkup. Switch your dentist today to NKC Dental. Why wouldn't you go with these patriots? Do you know your dentist that well? If you do, stay. I'm not telling you have to leave. If you don't really know your dentist very well and you haven't been going very often, why don't you support this great patriotic business? These are unbelievable Americans, man. Dr. Bush is on it. I'm telling you. NKCDental.com. 816-471-2911. And Great Life Golf. I love playing at Great Life courses. We played Canyon Farms yesterday. What a spectacular golf course that is. Their membership is full, but there are a limited number of memberships available at Prairie Highlands, Falcon Ridge, and Staley Farms. Some members have left over the winter months, and there's a couple dozen memberships available at each of those locations. You want to learn more? Log on to greatlifegolf.com. That's greatlifegolf.com. Or call any of their courses directly and say, how much is it per month? I want to sign up and play all the golf I can at Prairie Highlands or Falcon Ridge or Staley Farms. Just reach out to Great Life and they will change your life. More golf is good for you. It is. More golf is good for your health. Let's do that. All right, on to the news of the day. And Media Matters is an outfit, a liberal outfit, that leads you to believe that they're somewhere in the middle because they call themselves Media Matters. They're not somewhere in the middle. They have posted several videos of Tucker Carlson sitting on his set being recorded before his show starts. This is a common thing in broadcasting. Every broadcaster knows that when you're in the studio getting ready to record something and you have producers, engineers, camera people, and whatnot, that every time you're sitting there and you have a microphone on, you consider it to be a hot mic and that the camera is rolling and that somebody could sell you out at some point. Every single broadcaster knows this. So Media Matters thinks they've really got Tucker Carlson. They get three clips. One of them, he's talking about a guest or something, and he says, oh, and his girlfriend is yummy. And then he pauses. He goes, just kidding. Just kidding. I don't mean that. I don't know his girlfriend. I don't know what she looks like. And if I saw her, I wouldn't say she's yummy. And he goes, Media Matters. And he looks right at the camera and he lifts up both middle fingers. And he goes, F you, Media Matters. If somebody's recording this right now, F you. And it's going on the satellite. It's going up on the bird. And somebody's taking this. It's pretty funny. They think they've outed Tucker Carlson. Like, oh, this is an evil person. And he makes fun of himself. He says, I don't know how I look on TV. And the lady's like fixing his hair. He says, I don't know how I look. I wait for the postmenopausal women to let me know how I look because they send him emails and feedback on how he looks every night. He doesn't really care how he looks. There's something good about that. I think it's self-deprecating when he says it. He's not making fun of his listeners. He has a conversation off the air with Piers Morgan where he says, you know, the people at this company are good. People at Fox. Piers is like, man, people are treating me great. Thanks for coming on my show. And Tucker goes, of course, I'm thrilled to be on your show. He goes, you'll like the people here. They're good people. People who work for this company are good. What did Media Matters think they were doing to Tucker Carlson? They caught him saying the F word a couple times, but other than that, it just makes him look better. Everything that's been released, everybody trying to do hit pieces on Tucker Carlson just makes him look better. I mean, there was a piece released last week of him as a deep thinker talking about big issues, and he's right. Everything he was saying was like, yes, that's exactly who we think you are as a person. Everything we're seeing of Tucker is exactly who we think he is. And he's not mean to people around him, and he hasn't done anything wrong. And they try to do hit pieces on him now, and he's just growing in stature, which is weird, because if he stays out of the public eye for a long enough time, it will be harder to come back. Sometimes in music, especially, not really movies, but in music, like my current favorite band is Turnpike Troubadours, they were broken up for 5 years, and it just made you want more and more and more. And they're going to be releasing a new album. And I'm very excited about that because they have not released one new song since 2017. That's a long wait. So now you want more. In some industries, that works. I'm not sure that's the case here with Tucker. Like Bill O'Reilly's been gone a long time. He was the best. Are you longing for Bill O'Reilly to come back? Probably not. Are they longing for me to be back on Sports Radio 810? Probably not. I've moved on. I'm doing something different. And it's the way it works. So we'll see. Tucker famously in his video said, see you soon. And see you soon means soon. So we'll see what happens there. But I love them trying to do these hit pieces on him, and it simply does not work. It does not work, and it will not work. Hey, they captured the illegal alien before he could get out of the country that shot and killed those five people outside of Houston. This is great work by the U.S. Marshals. Great work. It was a four-day manhunt, and this man did not get out of the United States and find freedom, and that's awesome. Lock him up, throw away the key. To me, we got witnesses. So they know who did it. There's no reason for a trial here. This is when the Old West was better. They should hang him in the town square this week. They should just hang him in the town square. You want to come see it? This is what happens when you do this. This is easy. I mean, we were better off when we did that. when we use the punishment as a deterrent for someone else to commit a heinous crime. The deterrent here is take this man's life, do it swiftly. It's fair. The Bible says it. I'm good with the Bible. I would be totally okay if they just said, we're going to string him up. Let's go. This man doesn't deserve to live. But great work by the U.S. Marshals in catching him. We still have unbelievable people in law enforcement at the federal level, people in our military, people in the FBI, the CIA. We've got all these different stories of things happening that we don't like with these organizations. But man, there are incredible men and women serving us that are very good at their jobs. And we cannot forget to mention that. I can't mention that enough. When we're upset with the politicizing of these branches of government, the Department of Justice, again, the FBI, the CIA are the ones that catch all the attention, we lose track of these unbelievable men and women working on the border for ICE, in our military, U.S. Marshals. All these people are just really, really great. And they're largely conservative. They're just great Americans. And some great Americans found this guy. I didn't think they'd get him. I thought he'd get out of the country, but after a four-day manhunt, they got him. What a terrible crime that was. Local officials in Clay County arrested three men this week. This is crazy. The draft was going on, and so what'd they do in Clay County? Clay County, they set up a sting. They said, oh boy, people are going to be coming in from out of town for the draft, and that means, well, as they said, that means a rise in victimization. The better way to say it is that means a rise in crime. People will come from out of town and do things here that they wouldn't do at home. So the Clay County officials set up a sting. This is disgusting what happened. They set up a sting and caught three men who met undercover agents at a motel that they thought were parents of 10 to 14-year-old girls so they could have sex with minors. They were meeting the parents of the hotel to pay them, and then there's a room to go have sex with my child. Well, when they arrived to pay the parents weren't the parents. They were undercover agents. And they arrested these three men. One was from Lee's Summit. One was from Portland, Oregon. Another was from Madison, New Jersey. I want you to think about the type of man that travels from Portland or Madison, New Jersey, and comes to Kansas City for the draft and spends time beforehand arranging to pay parents of a 10 to 14-year-old girl to have sex with her in a motel while he's here. I mean, what's the prison sentence for something like that? It's just sick. And I can't stop thinking about, okay, they got these three guys, but the fact that they know that this goes on and they set up a sting and they caught these guys is great. What about the parents that would actually be involved in this? Ugh. Can you even imagine? Anyway, nice work by the officials in Clay County. We certainly appreciate that. Very, very well done. Program note, Thursday's podcast is going to be Cadren Sullivan. I've reached out to Cadren Sullivan. She's the teacher at Shawnee Mission North, and boy, did I get a lot of emails on this one. Cadren Sullivan will be the full podcast on Thursday. That's going to be awesome. I'll be recording that later on Wednesday afternoon, and we'll play that for you on Thursday. Cadren Sullivan wrote an unbelievable letter about the Shawnee Mission School District and got it published online, and she is brave, and this is really cool. And I cannot wait to speak with Cadren Sullivan on Thursday. That's going to be fun. Our final coming right up, brought to you by Joslyn's Jewelry, online at joslynsjewelry.com. 95th and Antioch is the place to go. Your friends and family are going to love Joslyn's Jewelry. The best is yet to come. Fry Orthodontics with their Mother's Day promotion. Log on to fryorthodontics.com/blog. Mother's Day giveaway. There it is right there. Lexi sent it over, the marketing manager from Fry Orthodontics. They're going to give away free Invisalign treatment for one lucky mom this Mother's Day. So jump on this and apply for your mom or your wife or whomever. If you think somebody needs and would like Invisalign, absolutely free. fryorthodontics.com/blog. Free Invisalign for one mom this Mother's Day. And the Sammy Family Stay and Play Lodges at Colbert Hills are ready to entertain your group. Whether it's just some dudes going to play golf, maybe it's couples, maybe you have an event coming up in Manhattan that you're going to a wedding this summer or a soccer tournament or whatever, take the family and stay there and play a little golf while you're there. Stay and Play Lodges at ColbertHills.com, a world-class PGA Tour caliber golf course in the beautiful scenic Flint Hills of Manhattan, Kansas. You get 15% off by using the promo code KKHI. Log on to ColbertHills.com or email Joni at ColbertHills.com. You're going to love those Stay and Play Lodges and have a great time playing Colbert Hills. You could play Colbert Hills every single day and never get tired of that golf course. It is so unique for our area. It is a massive property. I mean, they used so much land in the Flint Hills. When you're on a hole, you never see another hole. You're just like isolated. It is so cool. Colbert Hills is great. ColbertHills.com. Our final here, there is hope to save the world. Well, there's hope to save America. Matt Gaetz and AOC are co-sponsoring a bill. Matt Gaetz and AOC have met. They each have another partner on this. There's two Republicans and two Democrats, and they have written the Restoring Faith in Government Act. That is right. Matt Gaetz and AOC couldn't be farther apart politically on the issues. Here's what they're saying about each other. Gaetz said, quote, she is not corrupt. He said, I disagree with her on pretty much everything, but she's not corrupt. And she's saying the same thing about Matt Gaetz. And they've come up with the Restoring Faith in Government Act, which will state unequivocally that a member of Congress and their immediate family cannot buy and sell stocks while they're in Congress. Period. Simple bill. No more coming here, Nancy Pelosi in it, getting inside information, and your husband's buying all this stock and these tech firms out in California because we know we're going to pass legislation here in the next month or two. No more of that. This is pretty good. That's our government actually working. That is we have hope for our republic story of the day. If Matt Gaetz and AOC can co-sponsor a bill, anything is possible. Except the Royals winning the division. That's not possible. And anything else is possible, just not your Royals. All right, that's it for this episode of KKHI. Tomorrow we will have Kadrin Sullivan on, and I think it's going to be a fascinating conversation about her experience teaching in the ever-so-woke Shawnee Mission School District now. And she's at my alma mater, Shawnee Mission North, which is a failing miserably institution. I digress. I know I make North people mad when I say that, but it's happening, and we're going to get the lowdown from Kadrin Sullivan. I can't wait to speak with her, and I hope you'll join us tomorrow for another episode of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.